Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Transcontinental Race number 9, supported by our race partners Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Friday, 28th of July, day 5 at TCR 9. At the front of the race, Christoph Strasser continues to lead Robin Gimpel as they head south towards Control Point 3 in Albania. Andrew Phillips, race director, describes the day ahead for those leading riders.
It looks like it's going to be one of our first properly warm days out here in Bosnia today. It's early morning and it's already in the mid-20s. Riders are going to be heading further south. It's going to be getting even hotter. They've got a fair few hills to get over between here and Albania. So heading up through Bosnia away from Croatia, we're winding up through karst valleys, these amazing deep craggy valleys with crystal clear waters flowing through the bottom of them. The riders will have a few medium-sized passes to get over before dropping down to Foča Valley, just before the border with Montenegro, where they'll then be winding up the Tara River Canyon, which is this amazing road, which cuts along the side of the valley through tunnels hewn directly out of the rock. And from there, they'll skirt around the bottom of the Dermator National Park, which TCR veterans and dot watchers will know from several editions of the race. And then they'll climb out of the valley away from Plujin and head towards Podgorica before heading on to Albania. And then they'll be arriving at CP3 sometime, we'd guess tomorrow morning. And then that's when the off-road parkour is really going to test some bike handling skills.
While many riders will be making that journey today, there are still plenty who are now racing to reach Control Point 2. Mikhaela Frisarova is one of our brilliant volunteers.
I'm Mikhaela, and I'm the CP manager of CP2.
Mikhaela, can you just describe to us what's around us just now? What does the CP look like?
Yeah, there are these very, very beautiful mountains. You can see that from the CP directly, so it's really amazing just to be able to sit here and wait for the riders with this scenery. It's just amazing.
Yeah. You volunteered last year at TCR number 8. What's brought you back to volunteering this year?
I just really loved the experience. I love to feel part of the race without actually racing, to be honest, because at the moment it's just too long, too demanding. But I really love talking to the riders and being able to help with the CP, and that's the main reason I do it, I guess.
Yeah. And I guess to be sort of part of this community as well.
Yeah, totally. It's amazing. And everyone is so into the race, and just talking with other volunteers too. You can meet so many amazing people. After the first two riders arrived, then we had some time because there was the gap, right? And now it's becoming more lively here, and we're expecting many more riders to come today and tomorrow. So yeah, the dynamic changes, and that's very, very exciting.
Sherry Cardona and Gerion Tews, caps 334A and B, are still maintaining great pace and remain at the top of the pairs race. Race reporter Ross Brannigan meets them as they arrive at Control Point 2.
Oh, that was awesome. Tailwind. I was like, are we climbing?
Just getting blue in your way here.
Huh?
Just getting blue in
your way. Yeah. It was amazing. I was like, I didn't want to push it until the checkpoint, and then it was like, tailwind? I was like, I take it every time. That's awesome. Wow.
Congrats.
Thank you. Second checkpoint.
What's the dynamic like between you two when it gets hard? Does one of you take a turn? How do you work it out?
No, he's my angel. Yes, for us, he's our couple things, you know. It's like if we overcome that, we overcome everything in daily life. So,
you guys are right up at the, like, quite at the pointy end of the race. I mean, that must feel quite exciting, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah, it's a super nice experience, to be honest.
Do you guys really feel like you're racing?
Today was more like touring because we did the Eurovelo, the sunshine was so beautiful. No, today was the honeymoon. Yesterday we had the conflict. Today was the honeymoon, like touring. Like we said, okay, we're gonna sit down, we're gonna take it easy, enjoy the landscape. It's so beautiful in Slovenia.
Dries van der Kluij, Cap 131.
How's your morning ride been?
Oh, perfect. I haven't had any better day than today, actually. It's the best day so far.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Suffered the first two nights, didn't sleep so well. And this night I slept much better. So, yeah.
Are you finding it quite warm, or are you okay?
It's warm, but I tried to cool myself with fountains and ice. Right now I took some ice in a bar, filled it and put it in my bag.
Oh, cool. So you got full professional with the ice pack in the bag. What does your route look like for today?
Going to Zagreb. That's my destination. And then I take a nap of 3 hours, more or less. Yeah.
Yeah. Take a nap and then head on into Bosnia?
Then or are you going around to Croatia? The idea is to do the night, through the night. Yeah. To have the cooler hours of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I shift night and day from now on.
Okay, why is that?
Because of the heat in the days. So I prefer to ride a bit cooler.
As riders come and go at CP2, there are others a little further back who are still recovering from the dash to make CP1 before the general classification cutoff. Patrick Suk, Cap 317, is one of those riders. His love of ultracycling really flourished working for sponsor Pedaled at TCR8. And after a tragedy in the family left him with unexpected caring duties 4 years ago, he says time on the bike gives him the solace and joy he needs. Patrick made it to CP1 just in time.
Actually, I panicked because it was 7 in the evening and I had to pedal for four or five hours. To the checkpoint, and I was a bit scared to not make it. It wasn't easy. It involved a lot of uphill section, not just easy terrain. Despite my training being mainly focused on uphill rides in the past month, to make it, I had to motivate myself out of load all the time, and also encourage other riders on the road, because all of us, I think a lot of riders felt really panicky to not make it, and a lot anxious. So I motivate myself, I motivate other riders. I feel sorry for those who didn't make it, and I thank that rider when he saw me tired, told me I could do it. I'm really determined to reach Greece, Thessaloniki.
David Sean, Cap 50.
A little tire issue, like started tubeless, and didn't work out, now I'm on tubes, but I still had like 7 flats. So I got like a spare tire now just for like peace of mind. So next 7th flat, I swap out the back, it's like all cut up. And I also did the gravel part in Livigno. It was a terrible idea. It was like a mountain bike like trail, like it was really bad. So I flatted twice there too, I'm surprised that. Didn't have to hike out on an extra mile.
What's your plan for this evening?
Keep riding, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of want to ride that high. Got a good sleep last night and I feel good, so I'm gonna keep riding. Oh. I'm looking forward for it to get warmer, which today was like nice and warm. Now it gets a little cold, but it was just, I guess how everyone has been saying, it's just been wet. In Austria, like riding through that valley there, it was like -2 or -3 like all night long. It was really bad. So yeah, I think I can deal pretty well with the heat, so I'm looking forward to having some warm weather. Yeah, and the moon is out, so that helps riding through the night too.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
This year's race is more than 3,500 kilometers, which means there are many, many decisions to make along the way. Mark Kowalski, Cap244, perfectly describes the kind of route choices riders face and the impact a good outcome can have.
Firstly, it's been a dream to ride in the TCR, so to get in this year has been absolutely mind-blowing. The first day got off okay, despite me noticing I was on a completely different southerly route to everyone else, but got worse when I started getting pain in my right knee. I woke up the next day and it was just searing, and I was having flashes of thoughts of having to scratch, which were just terrible to think about. I noticed that after a couple hours just being very gentle on it, the pain just stopped. So then on the third day, I could be saying that wrong, it could be the fourth day, I can't quite remember at this point, but waking up in Livigno, I had a choice to make. I got up early and cycled along the dam as the sun came up, the reservoir as the sun came up, and a woman was working in the toll booth, and I said, I'm racing across Europe, and I'd like to go down this hiking path here, and showed her on the map. And she said, she sort of thought about it for a second. She's like, yeah, I don't see why not, but that bike's probably not appropriate for it. This doesn't matter. It'll save me about 2 hours. My knee felt great. I was getting messages from friends that said I had saved a bunch of time, and the knee was better that day, and the pain never came back. It showed in the number of places I jumped when I checked in at checkpoint 2 this morning.
When riders leave CP2, they have to complete the second parkour of the race before starting the journey south via Croatia. The team in control car 2 and are making that journey too. David Eyre, race coordinator, gives us an idea of what they will face, including the changing terrain.
So we have now left the end of a parkour 2 in Solčava, and we are heading southeast down towards Zagreb, from where we'll drop down to Banja Luka as well, and south through Bosnia today. So for the riders who have just come off parkour at the end of CP2, they'll be coming into the agricultural flatlands of Slovenia, in essence. So there are swirling winds, so times when the wind is at their backs, times when it's thoroughly in their faces, and it's long flat roads. So after the significant mountainous terrains across the Swiss, Italian and Slovenian Alps, they're now greeted with a very different challenge. So they'll be making their way through this area now for the better part of today. Many riders looking to reach northern Bosnia by this evening.
The team catch up with Simon Geiser, Cap 146.
Yesterday was a bit hard because I didn't sleep very well because it was very cold in the valley of Klausen, and then the other valley where the band road is. I didn't sleep very well there, so it was a hard day yesterday. But today I slept well in a hotel, and day was pretty flat. So
what are those calls like with home? Are they good to have? Do you have one every day?
Yeah, I have like a fair bit every day, yeah. Like different friends and keeping them up to date. And
does that help you sort of keep going mentally?
Yeah, it's just to spend time. I mean, sometimes you're just here and listen to music, but then or podcasts, and then you're like, well, can't listen to the same music always. So yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good to have some chats. I'm doing as well as I expected I can do, but I knew that I only can do that well if everything works well and works fine, which was the case until now. So
that's good.
It's like expected, but I knew it needs to go well. So that's good. I'm really happy.
Shizge Rami, Cap 322, was the first woman to compete in the World Championships for Iran in the triathlon. She was also a volunteer at Control Point 4 at last year's TCR. She provides an update on her race and some sound toileting advice.
Generally speaking, until yesterday, the motivation was to push as much as possible so that I make it to the CP Point 1. I really wanted the physical edge, but that was the motivation. Now the motivation is to try and make it to CP2. Can I make it? I'm doubtful. We'll see. On the subject of how am I? I am good. I have a patchwork of compete in my arms, trying to give some cushioning with the saddle sores. I have been grappling with why am I so heated up and feeling dizzy and having to pee every 5 minutes. But on the bright side, I have absolutely mastered the art of peeing. Like, the efficiency in which I pee, I think, needs applauding. I was cycling through Belgium and France, and very often you see statues of men peeing happily with their penis hanging out. And I'm kind of thinking after the, I mean, in Italy it was kind of like being decent and hiding behind bushes and trying to pee when no one's watching. But when you have to pee every 5 minutes, honey, you gotta do your business. So it's roadside, not even squat, but stick the bum out, do a little pee, and get on with it. So after this, I will now have to normalize the statue of a woman peeing, as well as the one that exists in France about the men.
Control Car 1 has caught up with the front of the race. Christoph Strasser has opened up a gap to Robin Champeau, Cap 3, who had to take a small detour.
We saw that you had to reroute down to Sarajevo to get some new tyres.
Yes, actually I overslept 1 hour and 20 minutes. I wanted to sleep a bit less, but overslept. Better sleeping a bit longer than searching tyres for an hour, I'd say. And then the plug I put in 40Ks into the race started to just not work anymore after 2,000 kilometers, which is fine for a plug to stop working there. I was lucky that it stopped working in Sarajevo, actually. There was a bike shop with someone who did the Bihard ultra race, and they knew what I was doing. They were quite quick in swapping tires. And actually, I think it's not that bad to have new tires for later. I think now the gap towards Christoph is getting a bit big, but honestly, as long as it's possible. Or let me put it this way. I want to finish or win. I don't care if I get second or third, so that makes it easier also then to take risks on the gravel parkours and that kind of stuff.
While talking to Robin, a dot watcher comes over and tells us he spoke to Christoph earlier and had told him he was feeling medium.
Are you okay? He said medium.
Medium. I'm great. I'm just fine. Can you put that on the podcast? He listens to it.
Darkness falls on day 5. The team in Control Car 2 chance a diversion to avoid some temporary traffic lights and unexpectedly find Robert Muller, Cap 197.
I just realized I lost 3 hours today.
Yeah.
For nothing. So I don't know why.
What do you mean you lost 3 hours for nothing?
Yeah, during the whole day, my riding time was 3 hours less than the time I spent on the road. So I lost 3 hours at the border and go shopping and all that little stuff ends up in 3 hours.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And it feels like you have been only off the bike maybe for 1 hour, but then it's 3.
Yeah.
I've just seen that Christoph is almost in Albania now.
Yeah.
crazy. I'm not even in Montenegro and he's in Albania. Oh man.
How have you found it in terms of, obviously you came for Be Hard and won. Does it feel like some of the knowledge that you got from taking part in that, have you been able to put that into play at all in your route choice or anything around here? No.
When I have a fixed route,
yeah.
I just follow the route and I don't know where I am, and I didn't check if this route is similar to Be Hard route or something like this, so no. I have no idea where I have been in Be Hard race. Yeah. If I've been here, or I know that I was in Sarajevo, mm-hmm. and in Banja Luka, there was start and finish, obviously, yeah. But the rest, I have no idea.
When we pick up the race next time, our fastest riders will have made it to Control Point 3 in Albania. But in what order and in what condition? Will Christoph be able to maintain the pace he's set so far? Or will that gap begin to shrink? We also get updates from those riders further back who are all taking on the same challenge and riding their own unique races. You can find daily content from the race on our social media and read daily race reports from the road. Thanks to our race partners, Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design.